Well, here we are in episode number 2, Enoch. And as you can see Enoch there, we used Pastor Steve's body to get that picture. Oh, yeah. But Enoch is number 2 in the series called True Superheroes. True Superheroes. Stop looking over there. You're going to start lusting. So if you can take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 5 and verse 6. And we're going to break this down of who Enoch was. Enoch, his name means dedicated. But Enoch comes into the world 57 years after Adam and Eve die. 57 years after Adam and Eve dies, Enoch is brought into the world. And then he goes out of the world 69 years prior to Noah coming on the scene, which would make him, Noah would be his grandson. But in Genesis chapter 4, there's another Enoch, and he's of the line of Cain. And we know that Cain had a son. His name was Enoch, and Enoch went and built the city, and the city was named Enoch. But we're not talking about that Enoch. We're talking about Genesis chapter 5, Enoch, which is within the line of Abel. So here in your outline, we've been driving home that faith is confident obedience to the word of God, regardless of circumstances or consequences. Faith is the confidence obedience to the word of God, regardless of circumstances or consequences. Now in life, you're going to be facing many different consequences for being a Christian. But it doesn't matter what happens. You have to remain faithful. You have to remain obedient and confident in God's word because it's the only thing that's going to get you keep worshiping him. So Enoch was a true superhero because of his walking faith. Underline that in your outline. Because of his walking faith. And we're going to look at exactly what made Enoch such a superhero. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we go, okay, that's nice for their life. So what? What does that mean to me? That's how I read the Bible. I literally say, so what, after everything. And I go, what does that mean for me? Because information without application equals frustration. So you need to learn how to apply it to your life. It's very, very important. So Enoch was a true superhero because of his walking faith. I like to say that Enoch was a Superman with a super walk. Enoch was a Superman with a super walk. Now, this teaching series is really, we designed it so that you can put your faith into action. Now, on the bottom of your page, Colossians chapter 2, I want to read that passage. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Underline that. Walk ye in him. This means putting your faith into action. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, let's read that. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Listen, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, many times we take that verse 6 and we just kind of separate it. That verse 6 is talking about the life of Enoch. You see, you have to tie in the fact that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? With his faith. That's what this whole series is about, putting your faith into action. So what does that look like? Turn over to page 2 of your notes as we look at the life of Enoch, how to have a walking faith. How to have a walking faith. The first thing we need to realize is that Enoch had a visible walk with God. Enoch had a visible walk with God. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That breaks down to Enoch was walking with God that he would not die. He never died. Enoch is one of the guys in the Bible that never died. Never died. So what does this mean? It means that when God looked down, God saw him. And Enoch was down on the earth and he looked up and he saw God. God saw him and Enoch saw God. They had this relationship and we're going to look at this in just a second. So what does this mean? It expresses two things. One, Enoch focused on singleness of mind. You see, Enoch believed in. Now, I'm going to say these and I want you to kind of get a little southern church. I want you to say amen after each one, okay? Can you do that? White people, can you do that? All right, there we go. Enoch believed in a holy God, amen. A moral God, amen. A caring God, amen. A personal God. Amen. That's what he believed in. See, you got to understand this. Your walk is caught, not talked. It's caught, not talked. See, many times we talk about our walk. We talk about what we're gonna do. But the reality is, it's not what you say. It's what people see. It's not what you say. It's what people see. So you could say you're this and that. But then people will see you in outside a church, outside somewhere else, and they're going to say, wow, it's not matching. Because your belief and your behavior have to come together. What you believe is how you behave, and they've got to come together. So Amos 3:3 says this. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, can you walk with God unless you agree with God? Can you have fellowship with God? Can you have singleness of mind with God unless you agree with what he has? Well, Enoch did. Singleness of mind. Now, we have teenagers, we have singles, we have unmarried, hope to be married. We have all different types of people in this room. Don't focus on finding the right person. Focus on being the right person. Don't focus on finding the right person. Because you know what's going to happen when you start trying to go find the right person? Your singleness of mind is going to be jerked. You're going to be moving back and forth. You're not going to stay on track. You're going to be off track because you're starting to go off track to go find this other person. Focus on being the person of God. Being the person of God. Enoch, focus on singleness of mind. 1 John 2:6 says this, that he that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk, underline this, even as he walked. Who's he? Jesus. We're to walk even as Christ walked. We're to walk even as Christ walked. Now, what's interesting is when you go back and you study the Genesis account, you see that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were shut out. But Enoch, after the fall, he was sucked in to God's presence. Adam and Eve were shut out. I also find it interesting that right after Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis 3 verse 8 says that God walked in the midst of the garden. Right after that, the verse says, Adam, where are you? You know what? I find it interesting that God decided to use that word walk. You know why? Because Adam and Eve stopped walking with God. God was willing to walk with them. God's willing to walk with us. But when we stop walking with God, he's going to say, Gary, where are you? Where are you? Walking is important. Walking is important. Enoch had a singleness of mind, fully focused on God. And there's going to be so much junk challenging your life. So much junk, the television, all the stuff that's coming at you. It's all geared towards the flesh. It's trying to get you off course. You know, one of the stores I can't stand is the As Seen on TV store. Why do I get sucked into that store every time? I'm like, I saw it on the television. It must be in there, you know? We get sucked into these things all the time. We get off track. We buy into the gimmicks and gadgets of life, and they don't take us anywhere. We've got to be singleness of mind. Enoch was a gentleman of singleness of mind, a godly individual that had one track mind for God and God only. Next is he was secured in fellowship. See, Enoch recovered what Adam and Eve lost. Enoch recovered what Adam and Eve lost. He was so secured in his fellowship that nothing could shake him. Genesis chapter 5 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked. What does that mean? Enoch understood that there is no other gods before me. He understood that no matter what was getting set up from the lineage of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and all the bad stuff, all the lewdness and sodomy and everything else that was going on in that time, he didn't follow it. He was secured in his fellowship. He knew exactly who he was following, why he was following. He was walking with God. It didn't matter. Nothing shook him. He loved the Lord with all his heart, his mind, and his soul. And the Bible says that he walked with God, and then he was not. His walk was so close, he didn't even realize he died. Enoch was walking with God, and he was not. He was so close with God that he passed from this life onto the next life. Wow. Romans chapter 8 says this, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Underline that, adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is saying the Holy Spirit changes you. the Holy Spirit changes you. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. And I notice it's great, you know, through the weeks we see new visitors. And what's amazing is that, you know, when we first come to God, we're a stranger. We're an absolute stranger. God is like, who are you? And then slowly, you know, we start going to church and we become a guest. And we start this process. We're a stranger, as Ephesians says, we're aliens, we're strangers. And then all of a sudden we become a guest. And we see that in many, many parables of Jesus, where he has guests sitting down, guest. And then Romans tells us, then we become adopted sons and daughters. You see, before Jesus, we were in another family. We were in a satanic, Satan-driven theocracy. And what happens is we become sons and daughters. Jesus Christ adopted us. And we fall down and we say, thank you for noticing me. Thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of that circle of sin and bringing me to your feet, because I'm safe in your arms. And then after that, we become co-heirs. That means all the riches and glory of Jesus Christ, he gives to us. He gives to us. It's this progress. And the Bible says we're adopted and that we actually can cry, Abba, Father. We have a father who's in heaven. The father before was John 8:44, Satan. That's who our father was before Jesus Christ. The devil, a liar from the beginning. He wants to seek, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But then Christ adopts us. Not only does he adopt us, he cleans us up and he treats us like kings and queens, as priests, the Bible say. And then it says, and if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. Enoch had us secured in his fellowship. Next we see true walking with God in fellowship. So what is walking with God? Like I said, okay, Enoch walked with God. So what? Come on, say it with me. So what? He walked with God. Good for you, Enoch. What does that mean for me? He walked with God. Well, this word walk is literally, it means step by step, doing the same thing every day, daily. Every day, doing the same thing, walking with God. How does this break down? This breakdown is one, by reading of scripture. Romans chapter 12 tells us that when we read scripture, our mind becomes transformed. You know, many times in the church, we're all about informed. We got another sermon under our belt. We're just informed. The awesome thing is when we're informed and we take that information and we begin to apply it to our life, we become transformed. We become more and more godly, more and more godly. The reading of scripture, just reading it. You know, those of you who have an iPhone, we have all these applications and Androids and all the, we have things called apps, applications. Many of you know that. I just downloaded one of my favorite preachers. Okay, he's been dead now for years, but he's a great Bible teacher. His name's J. Vernon McGee. And they just loaded the app called Through the Bible. Every day you can listen to it. It's 25 minutes. 25 minutes, and he's going to unleash, literally, the scriptures are going to come to life. And you're going to get more in 25 minutes than you would in a 45-minute sermon. This guy, God used him in a great way. I mean, he's dead and gone. But there's an app where you could still hear his voice, and it will literally walk you through the Bible in 1 year for 25 minutes. 25 minutes, that's just a ride in your car. I mean, you can listen in this traffic, you can listen about four or five of those. Reading of scripture. Next is prayer. Prayer. Enoch was a person that pursued holiness. Prayer is walking with God every day, communicating with him. You know, when you go out and you go to get the mail, if you do that, if you get mail, there's mailbox loneliness nowadays. Nobody's getting mail anymore. Except for Capital. If you're on Capital's mailing list, you'll never be lonely again. I guarantee that. You know, when you go outside and you go get the mail, or you go outside, you go to the car or whatever, just start looking around. God's working and active. Thank God for your burnt grass, because he burnt it. He's the controller, ruling, sustainer, Colossians 1, okay? Thank him. Look around. God, thank you for the water. When I go back in and I get to wash my glass, I have clean water. You ever been in a country where you can't drink the water? I have. You drink the water, you're going to be sick, possibly die. I love turning on my faucet, or I love turning on getting clean water. Thank God for the water. Have continual prayer time with him. It's not just about getting in front of people and impressing them with your swelling words. I'm talking about getting with God, praying with him every day, and walking with him. Communicate with him. He loves you. He wants to do great things through your life. Next is meditation. Now, I'm not talking about going up to the mountains with a bunch of monks. I'm talking about meditation, finding a small piece of scripture, putting it on an index card, and just saying it over and over again in your head, and then looking for opportunities to use that scripture. I remember one time clearly I was reading Proverbs chapter 6 where it says, look to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, how she works. And I remember walking by and I was just about to burn them with my magnifying glass. No, I'm just kidding. And I remember looking down and all of a sudden that proverb came to life and I looked down and I realized I'm standing on an anthill and I should need to get off before I get bit. But I look down, I see them working. God's active. He's speaking through creation. He's speaking through his word. Next is trusting God's plan over yours. God has better plans. I mean, we can't even craft up what we want with our lives. God has way better plans for our life than we do. Trust in his plan. Next is obedience. We always look at that word as negative, obedience.
Obey.
Like we're talking like, you know, with our animal or something. Obey. No, it should please you to obey God. You want to please God. Any good child wants to please their parents. They want their favor from their parents. Any good Christian wants their favor from their father. Next is godly association. This is huge because who you hang out with is what you become. Who you hang out with is what you become. Godly association. I find it interesting that if I hang out with Christians, I act Christian. If I start hanging out with unsaved people, I start to laugh at their jokes. You're like, what kind of pastor are you? Hey, I'm human just like you. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying. I don't care what kind of title you have. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you're gonna be just like them. You hang out with the wrong crowd, you're gonna act just like the crowd you're hanging out with. Godly association. Enoch lived by faith. He portrayed faithfulness, and then he had fruitfulness. Enoch had a visible walk with God. Next, Enoch had a vocal walk with God. The Bible says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Enoch had a vocal walk with God. Again, big deal. Enoch walked with God. What made Enoch so special? What made him a true superhero? Well, this is the first person recorded after the fall to walk with God. This is the first person recorded to walk with God after the fall. Because Enoch was a superman with a super walk. Genesis 5:2 says, and Enoch walked with God. Now listen to this. After he begat Methuselah, he had a son. Yes, Enoch was married. He had a son. 300 years Enoch preached after his son and begat sons and daughters. So he had more kids. You know, having kids changes you. And what's so amazing about this is if you ever get a chance, go back and read Genesis chapter 5, because God lays out the gospel through the names of the lineage that is listed in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch's name means dedicated. Methuselah's name means his death shall bring judgment. The word actually means the man that will shoot forth like an arrow to strike. After he dies, the judgment will come. So here's Enoch, and Enoch understood that God spoke through the names of people. Not like today where you have Joe, Gary, Steve, stuff like that. I mean, we don't really understand, but there's communication through the name in the Old Testament. Methuselah was the son of Enoch. At 65 years old, he had a kid. God said, Enoch, after your son dies, the judgment's going to come. Because what was going on in that day? There was wickedness in that day. There was lewdness. There was stuff that was going on, sodomy. There was all sorts of garbage going on. And Enoch was living against the grain. He was preaching. And I can't help to think how funny this is, but imagine being a dad and all of a sudden you realize your son, that as soon as he dies, there's going to be judgment from God. And every time Methuselah had a cold or sniffle, Enoch's like, oh boy, I better get out there and start preaching a little bit more. I mean, that'd be nerve-wracking. Because he understood that God was going to judge the earth. And right after Methuselah died, if you do the math, the flood came. Because Enoch is, you know, he's the grandfather of Noah. And Noah's name means rest. That's why the whole thing of the ark, we'll get into that later on, where he calls people to get rest, to not be in the judgment, to not be wiped out. So Methuselah, his name means will bring judgment. Romans 8:8-9 says, but they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Underline that, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be in the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The scripture says we cannot please God if we're living in the flesh. Now, I'm told that before we die, we're going to see 23 million marketing commercials that are going to hit our eyes and ears from radio to television. Every minute, we're bombarded with 20 commercials per minute that are targeting your flesh. That are targeting your flesh. See, Satan's trying to pull you in different directions. Not that I'm saying every commercial is satanic, but they're trying to get your mind off of God, worrying all over the place. You're being bombarded by your flesh. Hey, you don't not satisfied with your car? Get this new truck. You need a new car. You need to get Geico for insurance. You need this, you need that. Everything's about need, 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 want, want, want. It's targeting your flesh. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot please God. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I mean, do you realize that Enoch had quite an influence? I mean, think about this. 65 years old, the Bible says after that, he lived for another 300 years. The dude had to preach for 300 years, people. 300 years. Our country's not even 300 years old. He had quite a ministry of living against the grain. What does that show us? That God's a God of grace. He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He preached for 300 years. And I just couldn't help think, but this guy must have had a level of spirituality that we could never obtain. 300 years of walking with God. Many of us might make it to 80, 90, 60. 300 years of walking with God, and he was not. Wow. So he was the first person recorded to walk with God after the fall. Next, he's the first preacher of the judgment to come. He's the first preacher of the judgment to come. That's what made him a superhero. He didn't even know what judgment was outside of Adam and Eve's sin. Like, what? You mean it's going to get worse? More judgment? I thought the garden was worse. No, it's going to get worse. All right, better start preaching on something I know nothing about. Kind of like what I do. Yeah, we might go to seminary, might know the Bible and all this stuff, get degrees, but we can't even fathom the glories of God. Can't even fathom. What we know here is all that he wanted to reveal to us. But I guarantee there's books and books and books and books on him. Unexhaustible Jesus. He's the first preacher of the judgment to come. Now he's recorded in the book of Jude. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these sayings, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are underlying these ungodly words, that are ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, for all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Spoken against him. He was a radical. Enoch was a radical. Or a radicalist. He was one that was preaching against the grain. He was a rebel. While everybody else was living rebellion, he was a rebel. He was a pioneer. He was preaching against what was not popular. He was standing in the midst of a satanic storm, preaching, standing for God. You know, I can't help but wonder. You know, we see in the news how America is falling to pieces. I can't help but to think that if every single born-again believer of Jesus Christ walked 100% with God every day, I wonder if America would ever be like it is now. We could change the world. Do you understand that? You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you if you're a Christian. You could change the world. But what's happening is Christians are becoming comfortable. They're becoming silent. They're not speaking up. You know, when you drive down the street and you see those people holding those signs that say, stop killing babies. You know, if you ever get a thought of those guys are just crazy, they're wacko. Really? Are they really the wacko ones? Because you see, God can't bless a country that kills over 1 million babies a year. He can't do it. Or we see people standing, handing out tracts, and you're like, hey, I'm not going to hand any gospel tracts. I'm not going to mention Jesus because I'm not one of those born-again Christians. You know what? I don't know any other type. There's only one type, John chapter 3. born again by the Spirit of God. God wants to use you and me to be superheroes. Look to the person next to him and say, you're God's superhero. You're God's superhero. And we're living in a time where everybody is drinking. Everybody's smoking pot. Everybody's breaking up, shacking up, living it up. It seems that's the norm. I was driving in this morning. Every time this happens to me, I don't know why it's just me. Maybe God's just trying to make me to laugh or whatever. But every time I drive, I always see that sign that says coexist. Now, why is it that every time I look into those cars, the person driving always looks lost? This morning, I'm walking in, and the guy, I don't know what he had, like hemp hanging from his hair or something. He's like, driving. I'm like, yep, you're on the road, buddy. Keep looking forward. As the thing coexists, I'm like, that's never going to happen. So another sticker that says tolerance, and it has all the faith symbols on it. There's no such thing as tolerance. No such thing. Did you get that, media? No such thing as tolerance. We need to stand. We need to be the rebels. God's calling you to be the superhero, the true superhero, to stand against the grain in your schools and your colleges. When that professor says that you evolved from goo, you raise your hand and say, sir, I'm sorry, but that's just a theory. That's not true at all. Can you prove it to me? No, it can't. They'll probably fail you. Leave that school immediately. Go to a school that believes in creation. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God, underline that, but as we were allowed of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You see, at one time in our life, we didn't know God. We were aliens. We were strangers. But God, after becoming a Christian, after putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives us this message called the gospel, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on a cross. On the third day, he rose again, that he's coming again. And five, he's given us the inerrant, infallible word of God. Those are the five pillars of Christianity, if you don't know that. Those are five pillars I'm willing to die for. I'm willing to die for those. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And look, we speak it not as pleasing to men, but God. We're going to say stuff and people are going to say, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to believe it. God said it. The Holy Spirit is the one that converts, not the man. Understand that? God is the sovereign one. The Holy Spirit is the one that changes lives, not a priest or a pastor. You can meet with me for 4 or 5 years. It doesn't matter. I can fill your mind with all sorts of information. But if the Holy Spirit has not transformed you, as we read before, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If the Holy Spirit never told you you're saved, you're not saved. Understand that? The Holy Spirit of God has to change you and to move in your life. We were allowed. We need to preach on what's not popular. Next thing you know, Jesus told us is, it's very simple. He says, no matter who hears you, no matter who thinks you're a freako, no matter who thinks you're a Bible thumper, no matter who thinks you're one of those weirdos, he says, go fish. Fish. Keep fishing. Keep fishing. Keep fishing. Get out there. Keep fishing. Don't be scared. Don't be timid. I've given you my power. I've given you my authority, Acts 1:8. Keep fishing. Keep telling them. Keep living the life. You know, the best way you can witness to somebody, like I say, you know, people don't care what you say. They care what you see. And if your seeing's correct and people are looking at you as a Christian and you're living the life, you know what the great thing is? You get to share your story with them. People can't argue with your story. You know, they can argue with scripture, but they can't argue. I found that interesting talking to many different people. They can't argue what God did with your life. You share your story and let God work in them. Share incredible things God's doing in your life. Don't be timid. Hebrews 4:2 says this, for unto us was the gospel preached. Thank God for that. Thank God somebody preached the gospel, because I wouldn't be standing here today. I'm so thankful that somebody shared the gospel with me to pull me out of the circle of sin. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Now listen, this is important. Underline, not being mixed. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See on the bottom of the page, our walk, which is our action, must be mixed by faith in order to please God, which is his reaction. See, we can go to church, we can dress the part, we can sing the songs, we can go through the motions, we can do everything to impress people. But if we're not mixed with faith, God's not pleased. He's not pleased. That's the problem with religion. Religion says, do, keep doing, doing, doing. Don't worry about mixing, mixing, mixing. Keep doing, doing, doing. God's like, I'm not pleased, pleased, pleased. So it's our action must be mixed in order to please God, which is his reaction. On the back page of your notes, Enoch had a vibrant walk with God. He had a vibrant walk with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, those that put their faith and trust in Christ and diligently seek him, there's a reward. There's a reward waiting for both you and I. Enoch was a radical, as I said before. See, he had a vibrant walk with God when wicked times on the earth continued. When wicked times on the earth continued. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. This blows me away because you see in Genesis, God says it's good. He says it's good. And then sometimes he says it's very good. And then he said one time, he says, it's not good for man to be alone, and gave him a helpmeet. Now this passage, he's looking at it, he's saying, this is grieving me. This is breaking my heart. You see, what was happening in that day was you had the line of Cain. I'm not going to get into all this stuff, but you had the line of Cain. And they were mixing. Ungodly, they were unequally yoked. And what was happening is the godly people were mixing with the ungodly people. And then you had this, you know, basically this righteous line, this righteous theocracy and this satanic theocracy, and they start blending. Hey, it's okay. You know, I'm going to missionary date. I'm going to do this. And they start marrying into each other. And God's like, this is horrible because they were unequally yoked. And God says, it repents me. It made me sick. It grieved him in his heart. You see, God's not going to tolerate sin. He loves people, but he hates sin. He's not going to tolerate it. You know, many times we look at Sodom and Gomorrah and we say, oh, that's just the town where homosexuals were. Well, no. Okay, number one, the homosexual is not in the Bible. The word sodomy is in the Bible. Okay, use what the Bible says. It's called sodomy. Ezekiel 16:49 says, and these were the sins of Sodom. These were the sins of Sodom. Pride, Ezekiel 16:49. Pride, sodomy, and gluttony. Wow, are we describing America? He says, I had it. I'm done. Pride, sodomy, and gluttony. See, God, he's not going to tolerate it. He's not going to tolerate killing of babies. He's not going to tolerate people that are all into sodomy. He's not going to tolerate the coexistence people. He's not going to tolerate it. If he didn't tolerate it in the garden, he didn't tolerate it after the garden, he's not going to tolerate it now. It's going to take Christians to stand up when things are not popular. You know, I like to think of it like real estate. If I was to rent out my house, to a bunch of renters, and you know, occasionally, you know, one guy falls and hits the wall and kind of blows a hole in the sheetrock. You know, I can deal with that. And he says, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to wreck your house. You know, we'll fix it. We'll make it right. Okay, no problem. That's called repentance. But if I rent my house out, and they're ripping the roof off, kicking the windows out, removing doors, trashing my house. Guess what? They're getting out of my house. They can't stay there anymore. They're not fit to rent. This is the picture of what's going on here. These people were doing what they wanted to do. They were trashing God's creation. And God said, enough, enough. So when wicked times continue on the earth, see, Enoch was released from the death because of his faith. And when the wicked times were going, when everybody was drinking and laughing it up, Enoch was preaching 300 years. I'm sure Enoch saw people die all the time. And he kept preaching, still had a ministry for 300 years. So Enoch, when wicked times were on the earth, and the next, when his worshipful life on the earth ended. The Bible says that God took him. He translated him because he lived a life pleasing to God. Let me ask you a question. What kind of an old person do you want to be? That's collecting shells in Florida somewhere, bickering at everything. I mean, is that the type of life you want to leave? Not me. I want to be old, maybe smell like mothballs a little bit, but have a team of people I'm training around me. Training young people, continuing the influence. I'm not going to be sitting on the beach collecting shells. I can guarantee you that. God knows they're there. I don't need to pick them up. What kind of life are you going to live? Think about this. You're not going to be young forever. We're all going to die one day. But the great news is you're in charge of your life. Time goes by real fast, but the good news, you're in charge of it. Okay, you're in charge of your time. What kind of old person are you going to be? How are you going to leave this world? Are you going to leave it sitting on the beach? Or are you going to leave it influencing people, influencing Christians, influencing speaking, moving around, leading people to Jesus Christ? You need to ask yourself that question. God took Enoch because he had a worshipful life on this earth. 1 Thessalonians tells us this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. To meet him, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to this. Wherefore, circle this, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Just as Jesus came for Enoch, he's coming for his church. He's coming for his church. And we're to comfort one another with these words. You know, if Jesus died on the cross and he went back up to heaven, that's great. But what does it mean for me? He's coming again. He's coming again. That's why we have to look at Enoch's life and be dedicated like he was. Be dedicated to serve God like he was. There's a thing in the Bible called the rapture. Now, you're not going to find the word rapture in the Bible. You will find the Greek word harpizo, which means to snatch up violently. Jesus gave us a picture of this in Matthew chapter 13, where he says, I'm going to let the wheat and the tares, the godly and the ungodly, grow up together. That they're not going to be, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between them. They're going to grow up together and the angels are going to come and harvest them and snatch them up. It's a beautiful picture of what's going to happen. We're going to be snatched up. The rapture will be sudden. The Bible tells us that it's going to be quick. That's going to be a blink of an eye. It's going to be quick. Next, the rapture will be selective. Who is it for? It's for the church. It's for believers in Jesus Christ. The rapture will be serious. Why is it serious? Because after the rapture takes place, it's going to be a rapid, fast, bloody end. It will be serious. And lastly, it will be sad. The rapture will be sad because it's over. You know, I want Jesus to come, but I have people I need to tell still. I don't want him to come now because when it's over, it's over. Now, lastly, 1 Corinthians says this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. You know what's going to happen one day? This flesh that we're wearing, it's all going to go away. And when that trump sounds, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, we're going to break free. Okay? We're going to break free. And we're going to become true superheroes for Jesus Christ. And Satan will no longer have dominion over us. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, God wants you to live for him. So go live strong for God. And let these guys be your examples because they're watching us. Let us pray.
Every head bowed, every eye closed today. Would you say you have a walking faith? Honestly. Can you say you're walking with God? You're walking with God? This world is a wicked place, isn't it? But yet we're to walk with God. We're to walk with God. And I want to challenge you today to have that kind of faith in your life. Be a superhero for God today and have a walking faith. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.